friends, and welcome to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. I'm Debbie Giorgiani, along with Jerry Usher. And he just waved on YouTube and Facebook. So all the YouTube and Facebook chats, get going, because we are here with you. So you can actually watch as we do the show, which is exciting. And you can also comment, and we get your comments right away because Jeff Burson is right there transmitting them to us. Ryan Penny is on the phones. Rich Jesse is handling all the controls, so you can cut us off at any time. And we don't want that to happen until we hear from you. The story today we want to talk about, the conversation, the topic is all about betrayal. Have you ever been betrayed deeply? You know what we're talking about, folks. If you had that friend or colleague, your loved one, oh my goodness, please don't even say it, a spouse. I'm the first one to say firsthand, I can relate to that. And you've been just really deeply betrayed, where it hit you at the core of your spirit. It rocked your world in a bad way. It's just a horrible thing to be betrayed, when, especially when you care about the people so much that are around you. That's what we're talking about today. So here's the number, 1-833-288-3986. Sorry, Jerry, I had to get the topic out there because I know it's going to be a very active show.
It is. It always is. We thank you, the Take Two listeners, for always really making each episode of the show an impactful broadcast. And that's because you share with us your lived experience, your wisdom, your insights, your takes. And today, hopefully, we want to learn how we can deal with betrayal. It's going to happen to all of us. I mean, check for a pulse. If you have a pulse right now and you've lived any duration of life whatsoever, you have probably experienced betrayal of some sort. And Debbie was talking about even it happens very, very horrifically and deeply sometimes. So instead of really focusing on, you know, the negative, the hurt, the pain, really want to know how you've kind of come out of that, come through it. Have you forgiven? You know, have you been able to move on with your life? 833-288-3986. Join us, please.
And Jerry, before we get started, I just wanted to cover a few things, because, you know, after the show, we had full phone lines yesterday, and after the show, we had a lot of emails. A lot of people tried to reach us about prayer intentions, praise reports, different things. Just a couple of things I wanted to revisit, if I can. Elizabeth, who was a first-time caller from Kent, Ohio. Elizabeth, if you're listening, at the end of your call, we were talking about just feeling the Holy Spirit kind of possibly trying to share a message with you, and then I think you shared that you are working on, or you have worked or completed, a Marian devotion, something you've written about. We received some confirmation on that. There were other people praying at the same time during your call, and they said, please tell Elizabeth there's something she needs to do big to spread the Marian devotion. So Elizabeth, if you're listening, in fact, let us know, Elizabeth, if you were listening and you got this message, email us at take2@ewtn.com. And Jerry, real quickly, you know that I'm leaving on Friday for Spring, Texas. I fly into Houston for the 2-day Fullness of Truth conference on angels and demons. Folks, please, if you're in the area, drive in for it. It's going to be definitely life-changing, possibly soul-changing, with all the information you're going to receive. So go to fullnessoftruth.org. And Jerry, we received some emails as well that just were heartbreaking, that we need to call the Take Two family and get them to, you know, ramp up the prayers.
Yeah, let me give the phone number again to be on today's program, 833-288-3986. Talking about betrayal today. You know, have you been betrayed? Have you been able to reconcile with the person who betrayed you at some point? Did you come out maybe a little bit stronger because you thought, you know what, I need to really rely on God in all things, and, you know, people are human and they're going to make mistakes. So join us. Let us hear your take on this at 833-288-3986. And as Debbie said, we do have a couple of prayer intentions. One, on April 26th, we heard from Mary Ann, and she emailed about a young wife and mother named Julie, who is fighting cancer. She's a mother of three young children. Their insurance would no longer cover her current chemo regimen, and so it was a pretty bad situation. And Mary Ann emailed this morning just saying Julie is not doing well with her battle on cancer. So please join us in praying for Julie. Mary Ann asked this question. She says, I keep asking myself, how does this young mother say goodbye to her three young children, her husband, parents, and siblings? So, Mary Ann, thank you for bringing that to our attention. And everybody, pray for Julie and everybody else who has cancer or is in any other physical infirmity. Let's just pray that God's healing and blessing would surround each and every one of them.
Yes, please, let's do so. This that was just a heartbreaking email we received. recently. And Jerry, can you also share about Matt Kubinski's fellow seminarian? I mean, this just is another tragic, just sad story.
Well, Matt Kubinski was the call screener for Take Two with Jerry and Debbie when we started the program. And we're getting this information from Rich Jesse, our producer. Matt is now in the seminary, thanks be to God, studying to be a priest. And tragically, one of his best friends, a young man by the name of Jason, was a casualty in a Pueblo bus crash and died. And according to Matt, Jason's conversion was deeply impacted by listening to EWTN radio. And it says, let's see here, not sure.
It's just so sad.
Yeah.
So sad.
Yeah.
So he must have been young.
Jason. Yeah. Young man studying for the priesthood and is now with the Lord. We want to say prematurely, but you know, in God's time, maybe the Lord had a better purpose in all of this. So we pray for Matt too, and all of the guys in the seminary. Deb, it's got to be a little bit devastating for them to lose one of their classmates.
Oh yeah, that absolutely devastating is the word. The other thing too, Jerry, let's all remember that when our loved ones, when they pass, whether we have planned it, you know, in the sense that we had to be able to prepare for their entrance into their heavenly home, or we haven't planned it and it's something like this, like a tragic accident. You know, they're never gone from us, never gone. And we need to remember that. And that's the thing that we have to get a grasp of, that they are more alive in the Lord now when they pass. And I just wanted to say that because, Jerry, I feel so many times when people lose a loved one, they just feel like their world has ended. When you lost your sister Mary, you know, how did you feel?
Yeah, it was tough. It was tough. A piece of you. It leaves a hole in your heart, and it seems like a piece of you goes with them. But thanks be to God, time does heal, and the grace of God heals as well. But there's just suffering and pain and heartache going on in everyone's life right now, it seems like. So let's all just be praying together for each other. Remember, the Take Two family is a praying family. Debbie and I and Rich and Jeff and Ryan and everybody at EWTN pray for you every day. And we ask the same thing in return, because we really need the prayers as well.
Absolutely. We're talking about have you ever been betrayed today on Take Two? Have you ever been really hurt by someone you loved? How did you get through it? Are you still stuck in that pain and sorrow? We want to hear about it. Your story means so much to us because we can learn and grow from your experiences. This is Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. In just a moment, we will go to John in Indiana. Hold on, John. We'll be right back.
So privileged as Catholic Christians. Every Christian is blessed to know our Lord Jesus Christ, our personal Savior. And in the Catholic Church, we have worship services every day. We call it Mass, the sacrifice of the Holy Mass. And we're so blessed, many of us, to be able to go to Mass. Actually, I got home from Mass about an hour ago. I try and go every morning. And I'm just bringing this up because, Debbie, there are a lot of people who can't physically make it to Mass. And so a great, great gift from EWTN is the broadcast of daily Mass every morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Time. And I know a lot of affiliates will play it back at other times during the day as well. So, folks, if you can't make it physically to Mass, what a great way to start your day. You listen to the readings, you get a homily, you get to enter into the spirit of the Mass, even though you're not physically present. You can do a spiritual communion. So it's 8 a.m. Eastern Time on EWTN radio and television. It's the broadcast of Daily Mass from Our Lady of the Angels Chapel in Irondale.
Beautiful. I love the spiritual communion prayer, Jerry. Absolutely love it. Okay, a couple things. John from Indiana, you dropped, so call back. Ryan will put you at the front of the line, John, because we would love to hear what you have to say about being betrayed. And Jerry, we're getting a lot of emails coming in about the seminarian you just mentioned, Jason, who died in the bus crash. Could you just share that again? So Pueblo, they were, is that down in a Mexico trip they were in, the seminarians?
It must have been probably a Spanish language immersion.
Okay.
Because I actually went to Puebla, is a city in Mexico that I went to, so maybe that was where it was. But at any rate, this young seminarian, Jason, I think his last name was Williams. It scrolled off of my screen.
I thought it was Marshall.
Maybe it was Marshall, yeah. Okay. Maybe I'm thinking of the two Jason. Yeah, Jason Marshall. And I know that Stantall Carroll emailed in thanking us for asking for prayers for that. You know, it's the least we can do, the repose of his soul. And by the way, there was another, I don't know if you heard about this. I forget where it was right now, but there was a young man ordained on his deathbed. Did you see that story?
It was all over Facebook.
Yeah, another, and this is it,
and
just talks,
it
highlights the beauty of our understanding of holy orders. A man is a priest forever, they say. The Bible says that, and the church realizes that. That mark, that character on his soul at ordination follows him into eternity. And so that's why the church, this is not the first time, I know of at least three deathbed ordinations of men. And so what a beautiful gift, and we can certainly pray for him and hope that he is in a position to intercede for us as well.
I was just going to say that. Don't you think he's going to be more active now than it means and being in that hospital room and struggling with the was it brain cancer? I thought it was brain cancer.
Yeah, I don't remember the details. I just caught the fleet. I think it was on EWTN News Nightly, and I just caught the very end of the story. So I just was so inspired by that.
But don't you feel that way, Jerry? That he'll do more great intercessory work if God allows it?
Yeah, that must have been God's idea all along, because you sometimes wonder why would a young person be called home, and especially one who's going to serve as a priest and do so much good in his priestly vocation. God looks at the big picture, and he says, I've got a bigger, more important mission for you. So sometimes these mysterious things we scratch our heads over, and then we just have to surrender before the majesty and mystery of God.
Mm-hmm. That's very true. Well said, Jerry. Boy, you always say everything so... in just a grand way. I just love it. I mean, I understand it when you speak. You need to be a teacher. Have you ever thought about that? Can I just put you on the spot on the air?
You know what? I've thought about it a little bit, but...
Have you? Okay.
Yeah. Well, I have taught in various environments, you know, but...
Yeah, you're very good at it. Very, very good at it. He died, a young Polish priest who was ordained last month following a terminal cancer diagnosis, and he has passed away. So, yeah, it was a terminal. I just pulled it up right now. I didn't realize it was a Polish priest. Wow. Beautiful. Okay, we have two open phone lines right now. Please jump on them and share about your experience with being betrayed by the ones you love and how you have gotten through that. And maybe if you're still stuck in that position where you just can't seem to pray for those people and forgive those people and forget what they did to you, we understand it. We've all been there. This is the human condition. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
Okay, we are going to begin our phone calls with Penny, who is in Longmeadow, Massachusetts, listening on Sirius XM 130. Penny, nice to have you with us. Welcome to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure. Go right ahead.
Hi. Oh, okay. So I was married for over 20 years, and I'm going to try not to cry. I was married for over 20 years with a man that I deeply loved, and three children, and he had lived this double life that I didn't know about. And it started, he went to strip clubs and pornography and fell into that, and very powerful, influential man, very wealthy man. And so basically... we tried therapy, but that's when I fell in love with the Blessed Mother. So I see God's grace in that. I started praying devoutly, I was a fallen away Catholic. So I started going to Mass. Now I go to daily Mass. So that's the good in it. But because of his power and influence, my children, my youngest was 13. So the court said that they could decide where to live, and so they lived with him, where they were able to have alcohol and smoke marijuana. It was my worst nightmare, and was estranged from my 13-year-old son. I have two older daughters that I have a very good relationship now with, but I guess where I need help is it's been sadly 7 years, and I just can't seem to move on move on with my life. It's always nagging at me and bringing me down, and I beat myself up, like, why can't I move on? And I forgive, I've prayed to forgive, I went to confession, and And, you know, the priest said, Jesus, ask Jesus to forgive through me. And so I guess I'll stop there, but mm-hmm. I'm really stuck. I'm 58 years old and feeling like my life is over, you know, that I'm so lonely. And
sure.
I feel like I'm sounding like a victim now, but just need a little...
Right, right. Penny, do you listen to this show often? I'm just curious, or your first time caller, because I'm just curious. We've been broadcasting this show for 4 years, and I've shared my story, and it's just incredibly similar to your story. So I was just curious.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. So there's no accident to this.
No, you see. Oh, wow. You know, yeah, because I had an incident. You know, I was estranged from my son since 13, and he's just kind of sort of coming back into my life because my husband told a lie that I was crazy because I had Virgin Mary statues in the house. But however, I started listening to you about 3 months now, because I'm always in my car and on EWTN Catholic Radio and just love it. So I'm a new listener.
Good.
Yes.
Good. Well, we hope you stay.
I do not know your story.
Okay. Well,
goodness. I love you guys.
Oh, thank you. And you're a first time caller. We give a virtual award for that. It's virtual. So it's yours, that being a first time caller. But Penny, we hope you stay with us, because I don't believe there's any accident that you found, this EWTN, station and now the show, because, you could just take your story and replace your name with my name. Okay. The only difference is that you have, yes, I believe
oh,
you said,
wow.
Yeah. Yeah. You have three children. I have two children, minor boys. You are very blessed that you have the girls that you are close to. Very blessed. I just want to say real quickly, I can't go into it because it's very deep, but you're not alone. You're not alone. The feelings that you're feeling, are very, acceptable and understandable under the situation. What I would love to share with you, and if we can do this, offline, if you can email me take2@EWTN.com, I'd like to share with you some resources and some things that can really help you, get a newfound purpose in life that will benefit you and your entire family, including your former husband. Okay.
Okay, so take2@EWTN.com. Okay.
Yeah, EWTN.com. Take2@EWTN.com. You'll find us. Penny, please, if you can email me, I just know based on my experience that I can impart to you the things that I've learned. Just so you know, you said 7 years this has been going on. Mine has been going on for 12 years. And, you can have a new sense of being, a new purpose, a new feeling, new feelings of hope. They are out there. The problem is there's not a lot of research and resources, and you have to kind of look for it. And so I did all the research, so I'm happy to impart it to you, Penny.
Oh, great. Well, that's wonderful. Yeah. You know, I was at Mass Sunday, and I'm praying for a husband, and very deeply, quietly in my heart, I heard Jesus say, but I'm the man in your life. And I feel him, you know, begging me to fall in love with him instead of reaching outside of myself. So I'm conflicted, you know, but
sure.
You know, I know that to be the truth. It's just doing that. You know?
Right, right. Well, you're gonna find when you get that sense of purpose and mission, and you understand that there is a greater, a bigger plan for you and your family, you can get through this thing called life, this crazy thing called life. Trust me, you can. So, I'm excited for you. I'm so happy. And after the show, I'm going to say a thank you to the Holy Spirit for bringing you to the show and having you get on, because I will tell you, normally we have packed phone lines for you to get in. I think that's kind of a little bit of a miracle in and of itself. So Penny, I think this is your day. The Holy Spirit is reaching you, and I'm just happy for you, very happy for you. What do you think, Jer?
Well, this happens all the time. Penny, thank you for being a listener, and you said it's only been about 3 months, and like Debbie said, there are no accidents, and we do have this happen a lot on our show, but the beautiful thing is, when we have been through something, sometimes it can hurt so bad, and we can hear the pain in your voice. We can sometimes think, you know, I'm alone in this, and Debbie hopefully reassured you that you're not, but also we just got an email from Lisa, who said, I was on the line, but listening to the current lady's story, and it was so similar to mine. that I did not want to repeat that. And Lisa has actually offered to reach out to you. So if you want to email us, maybe we can have you two email each other or something. But you got a lot of support, Penny, and you're a really beautiful soul. We can hear that in your voice. And sometimes it takes a little while to recover from the pain and the hurt of something you've been through. But, you know, the way you described it, and we don't know all the details, but, you know, you just have to, I would just say you have to avoid feeling any sense that you, you know, caused this to happen. Or a lot of times when, you know, a spouse has, say, a pornography addiction or something, if it's a man, Penny, you know, the woman is the wife is tempted to think, well, my cooking wasn't good enough, or I didn't fold his laundry the right way, or I didn't keep house the way he wanted or something. And, you know, there are things that are much, much deeper than this. And I know you said you're praying for him and you've forgiven him. Those are beautiful, beautiful things. And those will unleash graces in his life and in his heart. Because, Penny, I know in your heart you want nothing more than for him to really find Jesus and to, you know, to be reconciled to the Lord and put all this stuff behind him. So mm-hmm. we do hope that we'll hear from you via email, and you'll be hearing from Debbie as well. What do you think, Penny?
Oh, my gosh. I feel so blessed in my prayers to you and your show. And mm-hmm. I do think this is a miracle because I hopped in my car and heard this. I had an incident last night with my son and just grieving and crying again. And boom, I couldn't believe your topic. So mm-hmm. thank you. My prayers are to you both. And I will be emailing you. Thanks,
Penny. Thanks, Penny. Thank you so much. We appreciate it, but and all thanks go to the Holy Spirit because he's moving, and that's a good thing, and I love it. So thank you, Penny. God bless you. I can't wait to get your email. Jerry?
Yeah. We're going to go to Jim next, but I just wanted to, speaking of this topic, Penny, just in case you weren't convinced that you're not alone, we got an email from it's one of our regular listeners, and I'm just going to say anonymous here. It's one of our beautiful female listeners, and she says, 15 years ago, I was sexually assaulted by my husband's law partner. So it's kind of a similar story. She was very much betrayed, and she says, not only did my husband show zero empathy or concern for what I had been through, although he did claim to believe me that it happened, he continued to office with my attacker, socialize with him, and be his best friend. This man also started calling my 15-year-old daughter, asking her to lunch. Again, no reaction from my husband. The message this sent to me was that I simply wasn't important. Additionally, I began questioning myself and my perception. See, there's where that self-questioning comes in. She says, which delayed my getting treatment for PTSD. Many years later, I learned my attacker has been doing this to women for years. This kind of betrayal is so wounding. It has never been resolved with my husband. He still cannot articulate or demonstrate any sort of empathy for my pain. So, Debbie, what are a couple of quick words of encouragement that you could offer to this woman in this situation?
You know, I mean, so she's still in relationship with her husband, correct?
It's the way it sounds from the email. Yeah.
I think it's just, you know, it's a tragic situation in the sense that, you know, when you're not validated for what you have, it's not been, you know, understood or have the empathy or the sympathy, that should go along with what you've experienced. It can really leave you feeling like Penny was talking about being conflicted, this conflict, internal conflict of wondering, you know, did I do something, you know, to cause this? You know, what am I doing wrong? Why can't people see my pain and what I've been through? It's a horrible thing. I mean, you know, people's, situations, Jerry, we have to really go one step further, not just listen to what they've been through, but we have to kind of put ourselves in, if we were in that position, what would it feel like? And that's a difficult thing to do. And I pray for her husband that he will come to that understanding, to really try to understand, to really try to get to the depth of what his wife went through. It's tragic.
Yeah, the way it's described in the email, and again, we don't know all the details, but the way it's described, there's definitely a blind spot there on her husband's part. So we just pray for him. We pray for this emailer as well, and people going through any situation of betrayal. If you have been through that and experienced that, 833-288-3986. Take two with Jerry and Debbie on Tuesday here. I'm Jerry Usher with Debbie Giorgiani, the show team in place, Rich, Jeff, Ryan, and affiliates. Thank you so much for carrying the program. We're talking today about if you have been betrayed, and it doesn't have to be a marital situation or a relationship per se. It could be any sort of sense of betrayal. Debbie knows well a situation where I was betrayed by a colleague after putting out tens of thousands of dollars to help somebody get launched in ministry, and then was basically told through this person's attorney that this person didn't owe me any money. So you just have to kind of let go with it. Yeah, well, you have to kind of let go of things once in a while. But anyway, I'm not asking for sympathy, but I'm just pointing out that folks, you can call with any sort of, you know, situation. Jesus, you know, the ultimate betrayal was Jesus himself. So we're all in good company if it's happened to us, and it's going to happen in our lives. What do you think, Deb?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Can I just say something real quickly? I wanted to rewind a little bit because I got emotional when you were sharing that email of that beautiful lady that was in that horrible circumstance with her husband's colleague. I might have used the wrong word. I might have said valued. I meant, you know, to validate somebody else's pain, I should say. I think sometimes, Jerry, when we are married or even our family members, we hurt the ones we love because we just expect that they know what we're thinking and feeling because we're living with them, right? And I think when somebody shares something very deep and emotional and they're wounded and they've been hurt, we as family need to go a couple steps further into the depth of compassion. That's what Jesus would call us to do. I think so anyway, right? Because he was the ultimate in compassion. And I just think sometimes family members can be the ones that hurt us the most, and spouses as well. And that's what I was trying to say. I think we need to kind of wake up and realize these people may not be with us forever. You know, something tragically could take them away from us. They could die prematurely, something of that nature. So we need to really value the ones that are standing in front of us. That's what I was trying to say, but I couldn't say it quick enough because time was running out.
Well, beautiful articulation. Thank you. And Jim, I promised you would be next, but if you can hold on just a minute, we have John in Kendallville, Indiana. John was the first one on the line today, and his phone battery expired. So John is back with us. Jim, hold on just a minute. John in Indiana, listening on Redeemer Radio to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. Hi, John.
Hi. I just want to tell you there is nothing worse than being betrayed prior to going into a marriage. And I went through with my ex-spouse through the educational part of the church, and we actually met through the church. And it, from day one, it was nothing but a lie. And as the years passed, we were together about 15 years, and it just was one thing after another. And, you know, it's almost to the point where you get over it, and you pray to get over it and forgive, and we all know what we're supposed to do. But there's still that lingering that you've been used because you had two children from a previous marriage, and two children with me. And it just, I haven't seen my kids for years. And it just, that's the ultimate betrayal, that she had a hidden agenda and just wanted me out. I was just a grunt, literally a grunt, a paycheck to raise kids and provide for them. And then when I was used up, hey, I don't need you anymore. And I can't think of, other than the story that the woman and her husband, that just appalls me. And I can appreciate the pain, and I pray that God gives her relief and healing and puts the right people to get her out of that rut. But, you know, there is a strength, a spiritual strength that comes once you look beyond and you look into the future. Don't look into the past.
Very, very true, John. Great words. John, I just want to say this for whatever it's worth. I am so sorry that you felt used. I'm so sorry that she lied to you before walking down that aisle. I'm so sorry that you went through that pain and suffering, because that is really traumatic and it's probably left many scars within you. But like you said, going forward, look at the great things. I know you don't, you may not have a relationship right now with your children, but you have children and you brought them into this earth, and you helped to do that. And that is a beautiful thing. And that is going to reap you eternal rewards, God willing. And John, the good that you did for this wounded soul of your ex-wife, she's wounded. She's absolutely wounded. And I feel terrible for her because she's going to have to be held accountable to that. I mean, that's just the way that our justice, that God works. I feel bad for her. She's going to have a very heavy, heavy weight. But you, on the other hand, you've done something so beautiful. And I pray that, someday all that hurt will wash away completely and the good Lord will just shower you with tremendous blessings, whether they're here or for eternity. I pray that for you, John, because there's a reason that the good Lord put you in the place at that time to be that person, to help her with her two children and then the additional two children. Jerry, what do you think?
Well, yeah, I mean, I was thinking of Jesus again, the ultimate betrayal. And again, Jesus, it's gonna hurt especially hard when you really open yourself up and you entrust yourself to someone. And I think within human interpersonal relationships, John and Debbie, I've never been married, but I can't imagine a more intimate relationship where, again, you know, you're supposed to be an entire self gift to the other. And in other words, you open up, you give everything you have to somebody, and then something like this happens. John, I'm just curious, and you don't have to, you know, share any details if you don't want to, but have you considered trying to get into a situation where you could marry again, maybe an annulment, or have you even thought about maybe you're a little bit gun shy right now because of what happened? But we would certainly hope for you, a beautiful relationship that you would deserve. I don't know. Has that been something that you've considered at all?
As a matter of fact, yes. And the woman was not Catholic, and we got as far as getting an engagement ring. Biggest carrot I ever purchased for another one, like you giving money. And she said, I come from an abusive husband. Oh, he's cheating on me, the whole thing. And no, she had an ulterior motive. She was in the healthcare field and wanted to get a higher degree, so I helped her do that. Guess what? I engaged when she finished. Boom, I'm gone. She's left. All she used me again was for my help getting her through the education. But to answer the question, I know God has somebody out there. I'm going to pop back on one other thing. Each one of us in this life, as I get older, we're no different than Jesus at the scourge. Each one of these things are going to make us stronger and holier and want to follow Jesus and become more righteous. And it starts with forgiveness. I picture Jesus in my mind standing in front of Pilate, quiet. He took it. He didn't complain. He didn't defend. And I'm no different than the master. So I don't know the logic on why I would find this person, especially through church, and it ended up this way. But I don't question God. I just go with it. And I have more joy now than I did being married to her. And I know that sounds harsh, but it was the wrong person, folks, and I don't hold her with any hatred. You're sick. You're sad. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my job is to pray for you, and that's my take.
Yeah, but I just have to say something real quickly, John, but one other thing I just want to say, because I agree with pretty much everything you said, but John, you know, your ex-wife, her life could have tragically turned the other way. If you, John, didn't step up and take on that position, I mean, many things could have happened to those two other children. Your two children could not have come into this world. I mean, so many things could have happened, John. You were, for some reason, John, I don't think you were used. I mean, I know you were used. I'm not trying to not validate what your hurt was, but I don't think you were used in the sense that it was, I'm going to wash you up, you know, wring you out like a washcloth and throw you to the side. I think, John, you have a strength in you that for some reason your presence was necessary. I'm seeing it. I'm doing what Jerry always tells us to do, reframe it. What do you think, John? Is that a possibility, John, that maybe you were the hero?
I'm telling you, you're on the mark. I wouldn't consider myself a hero, but I'll tell you, the day that I found out that she was pregnant with my second child, she said, I won't finish the word because it's a cuss word.
Right.
And I sat there and I thought, I looked at her and I said, what do you mean? It's just not a good time. I thought, no, anytime the Lord blesses you with a child, it's perfect time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's when, so going along the lines, I don't consider myself a hero, but I always will be her dad and to my son.
Wow. So. That's beautiful, John. That is beautiful. You're a beautiful soul, okay? You need to know that. You may not call yourself a hero, but I'll call you a hero. What do you think, Jerry?
Well, yeah, thanks, John. And you've given a lot of hope to Penny and the others who are maybe still reeling from the same experiences, because you said you have joy and you said you have come to a better place in your life. That's beautiful. That's God's grace at work, and that shows that is possible for anyone who has experienced something similar. So thank you, John. We appreciate that. Our virtual patience award today is going to go to Jim in Covington, Kentucky. And Jim is listening on Sirius XM 130. Hi, Jim. Welcome to Take Two.
Hello.
Hi,
Hello,
Jim.
Thank you for having me.
Sure.
So it's a hard topic for obviously anyone that's talking about these things. And I first want to say thank you. It was about a year and 3 months ago that while on a marriage retreat with my wife for 20 years, she shared deeply broken and heart torn that she had an on-and-off affair with a close friend of mine for 10 years of that 20-year marriage. And I was just so undone with four kids and loving my wife deeply to hear that. And I listened to your show, and I wanted to call, and I didn't have the strength really to at that time. But I can't even remember the topics you were discussing, but the way that you two minister, it really helped me at that time, and so thank you first of all for that. We subsequently went to counseling, and just so hard to get through, but it was Catholic counseling, which was particularly helpful, you know, immersed in prayer and through the help of the Holy Spirit. I wanted to call because, like I say, it's very hard, but I want to give people hope that you really can stay true to the sacrament of your marriage if both want that and there's healing and joy and in the future. It's not been easy, but it's come to that for us. We're our family. We're full of love you know, we move forward. But, you know, I just wanted to share that. For me, through my most difficult months, I just kept thinking about the Lord's Prayer. As a Catholic, I say it so often. And how could I not forgive my wife if she's deeply sorry? When I could either not say the Lord's Prayer, or I would have to forgive my wife, because in that, you know, we ask God to forgive us as we forgive those who have sinned against us. And same thing with my friend. I mean, I haven't, that friendship kind of ended, but I did meet with him once when he asked me to express his deep sadness and regret. And I told him, I said, I have to forgive you because that's my faith, but I don't know if I can have a friendship. And I had to kind of put that boundary there. But
well, yeah, that's understandable. Go ahead, Jim, yeah, if you want to finish. Okay. Yeah, it would be understandable that you... Did you have more, Jim? Go ahead. Okay.
No.
Okay, well, first of all, this is absolutely beautiful. I can't think of anything... I mean, we are made in God's image and likeness, and that is because we have intellect and will. We are most like God of all creatures, but the one thing within all of that that makes us most like God is our ability to forgive, because God is always forgiving no matter what we do. And this is a message for every one of us: no matter what we do in life, God will forgive us. And like you said in the Lord's Prayer, he calls us to forgive, or we pray to be forgiven as we forgive others. So as difficult as this was for you, Jim, you had a tremendous grace in that, to be able to forgive. I mean, to still look at your wife and to still, I presume, share a bedroom together. I wouldn't want details about that. But all these things spouses do, you know, every single day, you know, you have this in front of you, this thing that happened back there. And if you were able to forgive, which it's, you said you were, then, Debbie, it's beautiful that he says, you know, they have a loving family now. And Jim, I just couldn't be happier to hear, you know, how you handled this. And also, too, Debbie, I think his wife obviously shared this because it bothered her, and she did not want this to be on her conscience. And she stood before Jim, her spouse, having this on her mind and on her conscience every single day. So, you know, reconciliation is a beautiful thing when it happens the way it sounds like it happened with Jim and his wife.
Yeah, I totally agree. And Jim, I just want to say, you were hit with multiple hurts, okay? The fact that you have dedicated yourself to your family, you know, your wife did this on the side with a friend of yours. I mean, so there was multiple layers of the hurt that came at you. And I just want to say, you know, talk about heroes. You know, you laid your life down for your family, for your wife. You accepted her forgiveness. And, you know, rightly so. It's hard for you to have a friendship with this person that betrayed you, this so-called friend. And, but yet you went through the steps of forgiveness. I just want to say this real quickly, Jerry. I talked about this, Pope Benedict XVI, about this idea of we were made for greatness. Everybody thinks, oh, we're so great. You know, we puff ourselves up. We're so great. No, it means that the more we expand our heart, we can accept God's greatness into it. Okay. And I just want to say, Jim, your heart was stretched. Your heart was totally pushed to the max. And you did it. You did it. You got through it. You are an inspiration to all of us. I just want to say, you know, blessings to you, Jim. I pray your heart has expanded so much to accept God's greatness. And God bless you for sharing your story. I know, I can just imagine, I went through hell myself. It's been very hard for you. But look at what you have gone through, and now you can share it with the rest of us so it can benefit all of us in our marriages. I just want to say thank you. You thanked us, Jim. We're going to thank you back, okay?
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Jim.
I would only add that I don't want to make it sound like it's easy to people that are facing this right now. It's a hard, hard road, but it's the only road that gives life. I mean, I, you know, as a husband, your goal is to present your wife as this spotless before God, right? That's in scripture. And if I would have abandoned that, that mission of love you know, that's my ultimate goal, is that my wife stands before Christ at the end of our life. And I felt like I had no other route. But, you know, I can just say that when you have nothing left and you have nothing to give, that if you, like you say, you open your heart up, God fills it and expands it with His Holy Spirit, and He gives you all that you need. And He continues to do that for us. And, you know, There have been so many amazing things, works of the Holy Spirit, Mary and her encouragement through this, you know, through our dedication, and just so many amazing things that life can be more than you ever dreamed when you come out on the other side. So,
amen. Amen. I remember a song, I'm going to date myself now, I think it was a song by the group Nazareth, it was called Love Hurts, that came out in the late 70s, Debbie, you probably remember that. And, you know, when we're young and we don't really understand life all that well, we hear a phrase like love hurts, and we think, well, no, love doesn't hurt, it's beautiful, it's great, it's happy, it's joyful, it's just blissful and all this stuff, but you can only be hurt by someone that you love. And Jim, thank you for sharing all that you did, we appreciate mm-hmm. that. Yeah, forgiveness is not easy, like he said. Just imagine Jesus dying on the cross. He said, Father, forgive them. Yes, he was the God-man, but he was fully human as well. And he had, you know, the strength and the character and the virtue on the cross, even when he was just being brutally beaten, to forgive those who were hururting him. So, mm-hmm. And Debbie, we got a little bit of information on the...
yes, that, would you share that, Pueblo, Colorado?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was Pueblo, Colorado. I guess it was a youth trip that the young people, the seminarians were on that, again, if you missed it at the start of the show, Matt Gubensky, who was our call screener for many years, left to go to the seminary. And one of his good friends, Jason Marshall, was one among those who was killed in an auto accident in Pueblo, Colorado, about 10 miles north of where this caller, Patricia, is. And so we pray for his soul, and we pray for peace in the hearts of all those who knew him, especially his family and his fellow seminarians.
Mm-hmm. We just got another text message saying that they love the song by, is it R.E.M.? Everybody Hurts Sometime. Everybody Hurts Sometime. Have you ever heard that song?
I
never heard
I
that
have
song.
Not, but I'm gonna sure check there, it out. I'm sure there are a lot of, well, there are a lot of songs about being hurt by love.
Is it R.E.M.? Is that, did I get the right, is that the right group back in the day?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. I'm, yeah, Everybody Hurts. Okay. Jerry, can I make an executive decision? Am I allowed to do that?
Sure.
I don't think we did this topic justice. I think it's too important. And we've got so many texts coming in and so many emails. Can we do a part two? Could we do a part
two?
I don't feel like we're closing all the loops. What do you think?
Oh, by all means. Yeah.
Yay. I got to make
it. What the lady wants, the lady gets.
Okay. Let's move on to, thank you again, Jim. God bless you. From Kentucky, Karen in Quincy, Massachusetts, listening on the Station of the Cross. Hi, Karen. Welcome.
Hi, Jerry and Debbie. It's great to be on the show. Thank you.
Thank you for calling and waiting.
Mm-hmm. I just had to throw in my two cents. I've been through an ultimate betrayal as well. When I first heard Penny in the beginning, it just brought back a lot of stuff for me. I was married to my husband for 22 years. And he struggled with addiction. He is a victim of the opioid crisis that has been going on in our country. And I'm able to say that I can look at it that way, that he's a victim of a disease as opposed to being an evil person. I came home one day. He was going through some stuff. I came home one day with my children after we had been out for a few hours, and he had totally cleaned out the house of his belongings without my awareness. And as you can imagine, I was devastated and my kids were devastated. We were abandoned by him. And I never expected it because when he was in recovery, he went through an annulment because he was married before. And we celebrated our anniversary in June. So we were, after 2 years of the annulment process and everything, we were going to get married on this particular June day on our anniversary day, and we did. And then fast forward to that following August, he was, he had left. So I was totally blindsided. I had no idea what was happening. And I'll tell you, through it all, I just want to offer hope. I made it. It was worse than when my dad died a few years prior to that. I lost like half of my family all at once. His mother was like my best friend, and she just sided with her son, which was really very difficult to go through. But through it all, I walked with the Lord through everything. I actually had just become a confirmed Catholic that year. And the way I look at it was that I was, I think God did some house cleaning, you know, and that's all the only way I can look at it. And I'm not saying that I'm glad it happened in my life. However, I am a lot more stable, if you will. Living with addiction was really difficult. I really feel for my ex-husband. He really has an awful disease. And, you know, my kids struggle with that. They don't understand it as much. They're 24 and 23, but my 23-year-old gets it a little more than my 24-year-old. But it's been a tough road.
Wow, Karen, you've been through a lot. I just want to say, though, when you're, even though your children are adults now, if they see a spiritually strong mom in yourself as you are, you sound so strong. You know, your interior core sounds very strong. I just want to say, Karen, you know, God bless you for that, because, you know, you are helping, you are being a model for your children and for your husband as well. If you have any contact with him or anything like that, I just want to say to you, stay on that great, strong spiritual path and watch where God takes you and uses you, because this whole life thing is a training ground. Mother Angelica used to talk about it. It's a training ground, okay? And if you're on a great path towards the Lord, stay on that and go fast and furious towards the Lord and see where he takes you, because for all of eternity, you will reap hopefully the positive ramifications of that, the positive rewards of that. And so will your husband, and so will your children, because it extends to them. So I just want to say, Karen, God bless you for your strength.
Yeah, Karen, thanks for the call. And what just really came through loud and clear today, Debbie, was reliance upon God, upon Jesus, upon our Blessed Mother, and the grace of the sacraments, sacramental marriages. It doesn't eliminate pain, hurt, betrayal, heartache, and all of this stuff, but it helps. It helps to get through some of this stuff. So as Debbie decided a few minutes ago, Richard and Bob and the others, please, if you call tomorrow, Ryan will put you at the head of the line because we're going to do this same topic, part two, tomorrow.
Yes, please call back or email us again and call tomorrow, part two of being betrayed, hurt by the ones you love. Folks, thank you so much for sharing from your heart. This has helped so many people, countless people, which is great. So God bless you for that. Have a beautiful, beautiful day. We'll see you real soon.